Welcome to Having Words, the podcast that promotes insightful conversations and creates meaningful content with some ambitious, talented, and quite inspirational special guests. I'm Josh Martello, and this week I chat with Sophie Shepherd and Simon Stewart, also known as Soph and Simon. They speak about who they are as performers and how they followed their passion in music whilst being able to travel the world working on cruise ships. They also speak about the struggles and the benefits of being self-employed musicians, how they met, and their future plans. Starting the podcast is Soph and Simon exclusively singing Dreams for Us by one of their favourite artists, Fleetwood Mac. I really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast.
We're excited.
I'm excited because you guys have brought all of your music equipment here that's sitting right beside me.
Quite
intimidating. All this really expensive stuff and my like £50 mics.
There's a lot of equipment here, but
there are.
We'll see what happens.
And hopefully you guys can play some music for me at the end for us, the Having Words listeners.
Absolutely.
Now, before we begin, you guys, I want you to tell the audience a little bit about yourselves. Together, separately, who are you? What's your names? What do you do?
All right. Shall I go first?
Go for it.
All right. So I'm Sophie, but better known as just Soph.
It's true.
Met Josh in college, so we go back quite a few years. And I am a full-time working musician and singer, so that is my full-time job. So I perform for weddings, parties, and also myself and Simon work on cruise ships as well. We have a duo together called Soph and Simon. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But yeah, that's me. Simon, over to you.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm Simon.
Hi, Simon.
Hi.
Me and Soph are a couple, so that wasn't mentioned.
Oh, yeah, I didn't disclose that. Sorry. Yeah.
Thanks.
Sorry.
I thought I'd just drop that in there.
Sorry, love.
Yeah, I think, how did I meet you, Josh? At a party?
Yeah, what was the first time?
Well, yeah, so I got with Simon in second or third year of college.
Yeah.
So you would have met Josh through me, obviously, but it must have been a party or a gathering or something.
I'm pretty sure you picked us up and then I'd met you and you were just driving and I was like,
erratically.
Who's this guy in the back of my car?
Yeah.
Soph, who's this man?
I don't know, but Josh was very obsessed with you for a little while.
I love Simon. Simon's great.
Yeah, we have a bit of a thing, don't we, Josh?
Romantic, bromance. Would you say?
Yeah.
Borderline romantic.
Yeah.
Borderline not romantic.
It's a proper bromance.
It is a bromance. We have a bromance. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's me, kind of. I didn't really say much about
you. Just mentioned me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just sort of like paving the way for where I come into the trio here.
Maybe just tell people who you are, because you just basically said you've got a bromance with Josh.
Yeah.
I'm your girlfriend too, so you didn't really say who you are.
I am a musician. I play drums and guitar, and me and Soph obviously do the duo together. I'm just basically a musician. I don't know what else to say about myself.
You're a very nice person.
Very nice person. Thank you. And in the post show, we're going to talk a little bit more about you two individually and how you guys met and everything.
Ooh.
Cool.
If you're fine with that.
Now there's a story there.
That's a good story.
Tune in with that later. Have you guys ever been on a podcast before? Have you been on the radio before? A lot of our guests have been on and been like, oh, I've been on the radio before. It's so different to this.
We've had a live interview on BBC Sussex before.
I think I heard of that, actually.
When we performed at Goodwood.
Yeah.
However, podcast or actual sort of radio interview, no, we've not done that.
No.
I've been on Classic FM.
Have you?
I did interview performance for them. That was cool.
That was really cool. I tried to whistle and it just was really poor.
I can edit in a really good whistle.
Thank you.
So if you were saying beforehand, you were like, you want to get into podcasts.
Yeah, so I've never really got into podcasts, but until you, Josh, started putting out your podcast, we've been listening to some of them on car journeys, went to Cornwall a couple of weeks ago, And instead of putting some music on, because we do music as our job and we listen to a lot of music, sometimes it's nice to just break away from that.
Definitely.
So we were listening to some of your podcasts, and of course Having Words is the best podcast ever.
Thank you.
But we would like to sort of experience and try and look at some different ones. So yeah, any recommendations for podcasts would be great.
We're always listening to music just to learn it a lot of the time as well, and then we hear the same songs on the radio, so we're like, oh, something different to listen to. It passes the time as well, because you're listening to people talking and it's like, oh, this is really, really quite nice. And especially on a car journey and stuff.
It is. Like, you feel a lot more connected to it as well, other people as well. It's a lot more personal. Because right now, if I speak this closer to the mic, it's like ASMR. Hi.
Very intimate.
Very intimate. And like, I do feel like when I'm listening to music now, because I listen to so much podcasts, obviously besides your amazing music.
Oh, thanks.
I feel like I'm just kind of like, I could be learning a little bit, you know, and podcasts is there to be entertaining and to be educational as well.
Yeah. I think as you get older, you sort of appreciate different things. Maybe when we were younger, I'd gone, oh, a podcast, that's really boring. But actually, no, like you said, you can educate, you can learn. I like comedy and I like entertainment in that sense, but I do like debating topics as well, not necessarily political, because that boggles my mind.
Oh, all of my questions were political for today's podcast.
Right, we'll be off then.
Right,
bye, guys.
That's the end of that.
Where's my bag? No. So I think as we've got older, and sort of maybe, I don't know, matured more in our years, I feel podcasts
fit nicely,
especially around our job, heavily music based. It gives a bit of a change of something to listen to.
Definitely.
It does. Yeah. And like you said, you listen to music as it's kind of like looking at other ideas and other like songs that you can maybe sing or learn or whatever, but also podcasts, and you can still learn through that as well. There's so many podcasts out there that I can't think of any off the top of my head that discuss music. They discuss their careers in music when they were younger or currently as well. So like, that'd be amazing. Maybe you two in the future could even start a podcast.
That would be cool.
Good.
Of just car journeys. You record in the car. Of just you guys talking in the car.
That's pretty cool.
Attach the microphone to the steering wheel.
Well, we've actually got an idea. I've just recently built a ukulele.
Wow.
Which is quite cool.
One.
Yeah,
what?
It came as like a build your own kit. And I spent the last 2 months building it in the shed with my dad, and it looks great and it sounds great.
Yeah.
So it's quite small, obviously, so you can take it in the car. So we're thinking about maybe we could incorporate that as like a podcast, maybe requests show.
That's really cool.
So it means it's good, because then that means Soph will always be driving.
Well, yeah.
And then I can play the ukulele. I play a ukulele and we just do little songs in the car.
That's so good. That you guys, cool. You have an opportunity there, because you'll be driving to, obviously, like
a
jobs
gig.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep your ears peeled.
Keep your ear peeled over. I can't hear a thing.
Well, we're just in the middle of making a website at the moment, because we've just solely been on socials, so Instagram, Facebook. However, websites are sort of, we needed to do it. We weren't lazy, it was just more, we just hadn't really got around to it. So now we've really been cracking on. But I think I'm writing some blog posts with that, because I do like writing.
That's good.
But sort of not so just random things, but more questions of, why should you have live music at your wedding? Because we perform a lot of weddings, and next year we're getting quite a lot of bookings for that. More sort of, questions about why you should have live music at your event. Obviously, we're going to have a biased review on that, but just explaining the atmosphere that it can create and the different sort of parts of the day that really, you know, when the wedding party are off having their photos, the rest of your guests are sort of like, what do I do?
Yeah, now what?
So now what? So if you've got some background music, it can sort of just fill that void.
Yeah.
And so it's just nice, sort of atmospheric, isn't it, really?
We've met quite a few people that have kind of wanted us to perform at their wedding, or hadn't even thought about live music for their wedding, and gone, oh, we've just seen you guys and I think you'd be perfect.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And a lot of the time they also sort of say, what part of the day can you perform and what do you normally do?
Yeah.
And sometimes, because they've obviously got engaged and there's excitement of all that going on, they don't really know what the layout of the day is. So we can help them like that. So things like even doing a blog post about what we can offer and format and just the kind of, you know, let's break it down to ceremony, drinks reception and evening party, and showing what we could offer and what we can give to a day, a bride and groom special day, really. So like,
making it bespoke, really, as well, because we have our set packages of what we offer. So we've got a drinks reception package, and then we've got a ceremony drinks reception package, plus then an evening. Some people are saying, oh, I'd rather you have a be performing during the wedding breakfast than the meal rather
than
you
can customise it.
Yeah, so we're customising it. And then some people, yeah, so there's one person that's quite local. She's getting married in East Preston. And then her evening is in Burpham, which is West Sussex, so it's really close by. But she's already got a sax player playing for the drinks reception. So she's asked us to do the ceremony in the evening. But it's a really relaxed day with like barbecue and whatnot. So we'll just probably just turn up and just get fit.
Yeah.
You know, woo! And then free food. And then perform in the evening. So that's the thing. It's like we can cater and bespoke it really. But I do like playing a wedding.
Yeah.
I love it. It's just such a happy day.
Well, it's cool in the ceremony as well because you can build such a exciting atmosphere. Like we did one in, where was that?
Buxted Park.
Buxted Park.
Yeah.
And the bride comes walking across the gardens, and as she's walking towards us, we're playing what was the song?
It's You Are My Sunshine, but instead of the Jimmy Davis version, it's by Jasmine Thompson, and it's more atmospheric and acoustic.
Yeah. Oh wow.
And it's beautiful. I was crying. I don't know the bloody woman.
It was just an amazing moment because like you see the groom looking round at her, and she's walking down. It's like, wow, we're creating this moment.
Literally, yeah.
And they're gonna remember that for the rest of their life for doing it as well. And I think that's why we like to promote the fact that we do that because we like the excitement of it, as well as obviously we're being booked to perform, so it's part of our work.
But yeah.
I suppose that joins into our passion for actually performing music is the whole enjoyment of seeing other people having a good time.
With what you're creating, exactly, yeah.
That particular couple booked us 3 weeks before their wedding date.
Really?
So we were the last thing that they booked.
Wow.
And then after we performed, because we did the ceremony straight into the drink reception, they're like, I couldn't imagine my day without you.
Oh my God.
Which is crazy because I can sort of see that. I don't think that the ceremony would have had the same effect had it just been played from a recording or just a CD player.
It doesn't. Like you said, like a live band creates a different kind of atmosphere and a different kind of immersion as well for everyone's there. That's what I kind of like, because from my point of view, obviously, I haven't even explored the whole realm of like being a musician and going to like events and everything. Mm. And also a freelance as well, like you don't work for an organisation or anything. You work for yourselves, which is really interesting. We'll probably delve on that later. Every other aspect, which I wouldn't think about, that you can help out with these events, and you are going to start writing blog posts and kind of being leaders or like influencers in your field of industry and everything as well. It's really interesting. One thing I actually want you guys to talk about is kind of how you got to this stage. And like, obviously, Soph, the entire time that I've known you, you've been like an amazing singer. And obviously, Simon as well. Like, obviously, I knew you when you kind of had your roots like planted a little bit with what you wanted to do, or like being like a musician. But like, how you got to this stage at the moment, and maybe kind of give, if you can, a little bit of advice with people out there who are maybe like they're in college or university, they're struggling to find their feet, they don't know what to do, but they want to be creative, you know. And this doesn't only apply to musicians, but it applies to anybody that wants to kind of express their creativity and have that kind of creative outlet as well.
Sure. Well, I definitely feel like I've got some first-hand experience with that. Well, as does Simon, but more sort of very sort of closely related to what you've just said there, Josh, was, well, obviously Josh and I went to college together and studied musical theatre and drama, dance, and I always wanted to do musical theatre. That was always from a young age. I was like, I want to be in the stage, I want to be West End, and that was always what I wanted to do. However, when I started to audition for drama schools, so equivalent of university, end of college, I was getting quite a lot of rejections, which obviously is hard. It's hard to be rejected, and obviously the intake percentage is 2%, I think.
Is that actually?
It's 2% to get into.
I knew it was difficult.
Drama school, so it's a ridiculous percentage, anyways, and to try and even get in. But I got a couple of recalls and that was great. However, when I was there, I really realised that they were kind of cloning everyone. Mm. All the people that were getting the recalls and actually getting placements all looked the same. And I was like, I kind of had an epiphany and a realisation. I was like, I don't think I want to do this.
Yeah.
So Simon's 4 years older than me. So Simon had gotten past the university stage, which he can talk about as well. But I came to Simon, obviously being that we're a couple as well, he's my person I talk to. I said, I don't know what to do. I said, this was always what I wanted to do. What do I do now? I don't want to just go into a job that's meaningless, because obviously I still have this passion. And Simon said, well, you're more than capable of being self-employed and getting yourself work now. You don't need to go to uni or go to drama school. I think you can just do it. otherwise, really, because we have to pay, we don't get government funding. Sometimes you get scholarships, but otherwise they're like 14 grand a year to go to drama school. So my parents would not have been able to have paid that anyway. So I was heavily relying on getting a scholarship. So yeah, Simon just said, why don't you do it yourself? Take the plunge and be self-employed. So Simon was moving to Brighton and I was still working in a pub in the week, and on the weekends I was doing gigs. So Simon said, I'm going to move to Brighton. Once I've settled, you come and move in with me. So I moved to Brighton. I quit my job and became, yeah, full-time singer.
That's crazy.
It was the scariest thing.
Instead of doing your dancing and following your drama school thing, you were like, well, your other passion is singing, isn't it?
So
that was your kind of like second option. But I think now you've probably realised that that is actually...
is the one.
What you love doing.
Yeah. And luckily you're good at it as well.
Thanks.
I want to do singing, so if maybe you don't do singing.
Thankfully, yes, I can sing. But when I was younger, I was dancing more, and everyone at my parents and everyone was like, oh, she's going to be a dancer. Mm-hmm. And then I was in a choir when I was in school, and they're like, oh, game changer, think she could be a singer. Yeah. Or at least a triple threat. But yeah, if it wasn't for Simon's encouragement, because he already was self-employed and had not been to uni himself, which he can sort of go on to, that really was an encouragement. Yeah, I could do this. And then within 2 months of me being self-employed, I was doing a few gigs. It was tricky my first year, by all means. It wasn't easy because you're trying to be established and it's, you know, you're trying to get show reels together, email.
Create some identity as well.
Absolutely. I got, within 2 months, I got my first ship contract on my own. So I was working with P&O Cruises and I did a 6-week swing filling contract, which was a great step in the right direction and sort of foot in the door with that, because I met some great people who had other contacts. And obviously, as I say, that was on my own. And it was hard being away from Simon for 6 weeks, so of course. But when I came home, I said to Simon, what do you think about us doing our duo together on ships? And Simon wasn't too sure at first.
Simon was like, no, how dare you?
That was because it was like, we're in a sort of middle point, I suppose. That was when I... So just before we did that, you went away. We were living in Brighton.
Yeah.
I was still working with my other duo, wasn't I? With Steel Strum, doing that stuff, which is what I'd built up. And over the time, I think it was about 4 or 5 years at that point, that me and my friend Alex had spent a lot of time being self-employed, getting gigs, building up a business, really.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that was why I had faith in Soph to be able to create her own self-employment business, being a singer. And I think while we were in Brighton, it was a harder time because you were kind of like trying to figure out how to get gigs and what you needed to do in order to promote yourself. But then that was where I could help out and you know, help you get a video made, and you know, I've got friends that already know how to do that kind of stuff. But then that was when we were both sort of talking about being able to travel more, which then Soph got this contract on the ship at P&O and she went away for 6 weeks. And yeah, it was a harder time because it was over winter. So she was at these amazing places and I was like, oh, I really want to be doing that. And I'm at home in Brighton and it's raining all the time.
Yeah.
And I was a bit like, oh. And yeah, obviously I missed her as well.
Aww.
So yeah, when she came home, you were saying about potentially doing... Because I think we'd just started doing a bit of duo stuff.
Yeah, so...
But it wasn't really anything serious. We decided to go busking one day, didn't we?
Yeah. So I think at that point we had a duo for a year, but we weren't really doing much with it. But it was more sort of, if you needed a duo, we could throw a few songs together and do it.
Yeah.
And then at that point we'd made a showreel of the two of us, sort of a live performance we did, and got that filmed. Because obviously CVs are a thing of the past.
It's now, all videos,
audio reels, photos, content. That's all it is. People don't want to see, oh, brilliant, yes, you worked here and you did that. Oh, they don't care anymore.
They want to see your experience in action.
They want to see you doing your thing.
Mm.
We got a new reel done. And then I actually applied for another ship job on my own. It was through a company. And then the guy called me on Easter Sunday. I'm thinking, who's calling me on Easter Sunday? Like, everyone should be having Easter egg hunts and roast dinners and hot cross buns. And I got this call saying, oh, hi, yeah, you applied to my company, but I'm really interested in your duo for a ship. I was like, oh, okay. And he said, yeah, it's for celebrity cruises. Mm. I thought, great, cool. And so, yeah, I'll cut a long story short. In the end, we got an offer to do a four-month contract in November 2017. Yeah. Well, we got an offer between either 4 or 6 months, and we said, let's do 4 because 6 is half a year. That's a long time.
Yeah.
And that was when I was still unsure about ships.
Yeah. So we thought, let's
that
not.
That came out of me making a decision to then cut everything off and go away, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we're like, let's not go balls deep too soon. And he then said, look, have you actually looked at the itinerary? And I said, no, not at all, really. He said, can I convince you to do 6 months?
Oh my God.
I said, well, let's see the itinerary. And we saw it, and it was starting in Rome, went through so Europe, good. And then it went to Asia. And so we did the Middle East, we did India, Sri Lanka, and then we did Southeast Asia. So we were doing Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore, Philippines, Hong Kong, Malaysia. And obviously doing the extra 2 months was then enabling us to see more places.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
This is an opportunity we really can't turn down. We thought, let's just do it. 6 months, 2 more months, let's do it. For the sake of seeing more of the world, which is why we really wanted to do it anyways.
Yeah. It goes hand in hand.
So it's been perfect for us really because we have been able to travel. We've been able to save our money as well, which has been a big goal for us. To buy a house.
We've done 3 contracts now and we're about to do 4 and obviously you've done 5 because of the P&O.
You guys are literally leaving at the end of this week.
We're leaving in 3 days
off
time.
To another one flying out to Florida.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's kind of like, you know, in a short story version of the last couple
Pretty
of years
much.
That's kind of showing how quickly you can go from not getting into university and then you sort of convincing me to come on cruise ships after you've had your first contract.
Yeah.
And then kind of 2 years later, it's been a bit crazy of us just going away, traveling the world and having those opportunities. But the more we work on ships, because we're working every night or at least 6 nights a week, the duo that we've got now compared to the duo we had 3 years ago, it's a totally different act now. And, you know, we've built it up. We've created a business out of it really, and we're it's kind of like it's starting to make itself a name on the South Coast and stuff, and people are starting to hear us and we're getting bookings from weddings and things like that. So it's built up to a point now where we're like, okay, well, you know, being self-employed, it is a risk and there is a massive area of the unknown.
But it's still exciting as well.
Massively.
Yeah, that's the excitement of the unknown is knowing that anything might
not,
can happen.
Yeah, we might not get any jobs. Woo!
Yeah, I think as well, like touching on back to sort of your original point, Josh, was that, yes, both Simon and I didn't go to university, but we've still been successful.
Yeah.
I think that's the point is really if you're listening and you're worried about university and not sure you got the grades or you don't think it's even right for you, because it's not for everyone. I know people that drop out because uni life is not for them.
Exactly, yeah.
You shouldn't be so hard on yourself. It's not the be-all or end-all. If you have, I think we touch on this a lot about law of attraction. If you want something enough and you put out that sort of
energy
that you want something, inevitably, if you will get it, I think, if you want it enough.
It just becomes something that's on your mind all the time. And if you're doing something that you don't enjoy, like Soph says, you're going to uni and you don't want to do it and you leave,
you're not going to be successful.
I don't think it's a bad thing to leave.
No.
It's a good thing to go and follow what actually makes you excited, because if you're not enjoying what you're doing, you're never going to want to put your heart into it and your passion, which, you know, I get up every day and I don't have to get up. I could stay in bed if I wanted. But
and I do.
It's not going to get us anywhere. And, you know, even building a website recently for us, that excites me because it's ours.
Exactly. And like that's what I want to actually talk to you guys about a little bit more, is like you're using yourself as a brand, you know. You're not making like the podcast, for example. Having us podcast, you know, it doesn't have to be with me, but it is with me. But you guys are literally Soph and Simon. Like that is who you are. And it's like what I find quite interesting is how you went around self-branding yourself. I suppose it is a little bit easier because obviously you two are the ones that are making the content, you know. It is literally you're the singer, you're the singer and the guitarist. It works so well together.
Yeah, well, I mean, we sort of flipped with an idea of one name to start with.
What was
sorry.
That?
Yeah, that
our
wasn't
first
very good name.
It wasn't very good. I had a dream. We didn't have a name, and I had no idea what we were going to be called. And I said to, you know, when someone says, oh, you said the F word.
Yeah.
So I had this dream, like, oh, you said the S word.
Oh, my God.
And obviously, my initials are SS, and so is Simon's. So I woke up, and I was like, Simon.
So good.
We should be called the S word.
So, and we did, actually,
and we did,
for a little while.
For like 3-4 months, we were called the S word.
And then why did you change back?
Well, no, well, I typed it in on Google, and then it said the sword. And I was like, oh, yeah, the S word spells sword, and we were like, okay, we can't use that anymore.
Yeah,
sounds like we're some sort of like medieval duo. Yeah, sorry,
not heard you for my medieval Viking event. What?
Oh gosh. So yeah, that changed instantly, and then we're like, well, we can't really take away that we are just Sophie and Simon, but more people call me Soph, and yeah. Actually, there's already Sophie and Simon was already taken on Facebook or something or another.
Mm.
So as I say, more people call me Soph, and I think one syllable sounded better, like Soph and Simon.
It does, yeah.
Runs off the tongue. So it was just like that, really.
I think the other thing was a lot of our friends and family were following us online when we were doing the ships, and that was the first time we'd ever been out of the country for that long.
Yeah,
and for us to be sort of another name, it would have been like, if we were the S word, it would have been a bit like, who are these? And oh, it's them. It's like, we'd rather just be Soph and Simon, and then our family and friends all know that that's us, and straight away we've got a bit more of a following in a way as well.
And it's more personal as well.
It is, yeah. And I suppose from like a marketing point of view, people are going to remember your names if they'll type your names in rather than the S word. Like, it's a fun name and everything as well, and it makes sense.
It's an awful name, Josh. Let's be honest.
It's an interesting name for something. And like, but people, I feel like they are gonna remember who you are. And like you said, it is a lot more personal. You know, it does add some sort of identity to it as well.
Yeah.
Which is why I like, that's quite interesting how you guys have literally branded yourselves as well. Like, you're selling yourselves. You know, which is really cool.
It just seemed like the easy way to go, I suppose. It's obvious. Yeah. So then it's easy. And then people will remember it.
Especially for things like such as weddings. I obviously haven't planned a wedding, but I can imagine it's such a stressful process that people just want to like, oh, you know, I'll go with something just kind of like, there isn't too much work, you know? And I feel that as well, if people are hiring you two, Soph and Simon, it does add that kind of like friendly neighbourhood thing as well.
I think it is a friendly sort of approach.
We'd rather be like personal to meeting those people, and then they know exactly who we are, and that's exactly what we're called as well.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a lot of bands, not that it's a problem because Soph does dep work and everything as well, but there's a lot of bands that have a lot of different deps sitting in all the time, and the people that will hire them for their event, it may not be that person that turns up. But for me and Soph, we always make sure, you know, I wouldn't probably replace myself for another guitarist.
Yeah.
No, likewise.
If I couldn't make it, but we always make sure we're there, don't we?
Yeah.
It's always going to be us, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, if one of you changes, it would be like, what, Soph and Brian? Or like, like someone else. Exactly. Brian. Like, what?
Brophy.
Now, also, what I find quite interesting is the whole freelance aspect of it as well. Like you said, you know, you're not working for anyone. You didn't go through uni or anything. You are literally having to find the work yourselves and everything. And what was really interesting, when we had coffee before this and Simon went off, like, Soph was literally marketing to this lady. Like, Simon came back and Soph was like, oh, yeah, I just like, gave my business card to someone, you know. It might not be work, but, you know, it is that you're still outreaching a little bit as well.
It's just sort of, if you say your name enough, they say that about adverts. If you see an advert with the same logo, same faces 4 times, you're more likely to then go and look at it. That's because you're like, oh,
click,
I recognise that.
Engage in certain
engagement
way with it,
But yeah, I think just talking and just being approachable is so, so key. For example, some of the ways that we get gigs is through Facebook, actually, because a lot of people look for recommendations on Facebook. There are a lot of pages which are sort of musicians looking for work, or there are actually sort of bridal pages as well, where people are like, oh, I'm looking for a band. So we're part of some of these groups, and a lot of people put the hard sell straight away. They're like, we can do this, we can do that, we can do 5 people, 6 people, 9 people, 12 people, we can do this genre and this genre.
So much, it's too much.
When you read that, you're like, oh my God, I can't even.
And that's one out of about 70 or 80 comments in one post.
Yeah.
This bride's looking for a band.
Yeah.
And that's one thing of on her mind that she's looking for. She's probably posted that on a looking for someone to make my cake. There's probably 100 people there. So it's like,
yeah, so it's very overwhelming. So my approach, or our approach, should I say, because actually usually I put the posts up more. Well, the only reason why is that I feel a lot of people are more sort of softer when it's a woman approaching them.
I see that.
I don't know why, but it's a psychological thing, I think.
I do see that a little bit as well. I suppose if it is the brides that are looking as well, they do feel maybe a little bit less intimidated if it is coming from a female perspective.
Yeah, so when they see my name, I'm really breezy with it. I'm like, hi, what should we call them? Nicole. Call them Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
I was going to say Jennifer.
It's going to
say Brian again.
Let's call her Jen. Hi, Jen. Let's do that. Jenny. Hi, Jen. I'll just say, hi, Jen. Please have a look at our Facebook page, at Soph and Simon. If you're interested, drop us a message and we can talk more about our wedding package deals.
Yeah.
Leave it there. Then they're like, oh, yeah, I'll click on their page. Click on our page. They're like, oh, Soph and Simon, I like them. What they said about wedding package deals, I'm going to ask more. If you're leaving them with wanting more, right, rather than giving them everything in one go, then they're like, oh, I already know everything.
Exactly,
If you leave them kind of with a cliffhanger, then they go, hi, Soph and Simon, and that's the other thing.
And you're our like, names, well,
they
well,
know
well.
Our names straight away as well. they go, hi, Soph and Simon, really like your page. Please, can you tell me some more about your prices and wedding package deals? Then you've got them then.
Exactly.
We give them a little.
Dangle
they come
the carrot.
With a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, no, I hope not.
And then we will tell them the deals. But we offer a 20% off on all-day packages as well, which is actually proven really popular because it means that we're there from the start to the finish, but also incorporating a discount, which it completely is a discount, is also a way of going, oh, I'm actually saving myself some money as well, rather than, because quite a lot of people might have one person to perform for the ceremony and drinks and then a band or a DJ for the evening.
Yeah.
But with our style, we can be acoustic and we can be full-on party as well. Mm. So for them, it's sort of peace of mind. Like, I have those two people from start to finish and I don't have to worry about another person coming in.
Exactly,
So, yeah, it works well for us, but we can't just be sitting back, being in bed all day and expecting the work to be in our inbox.
You need to
have to put the work in. Like, that just won't happen.
Think of new ideas all the time. Like, we've just started doing wedding fairs since we've been back this year and they've proved that they work, but the first one we did, we didn't have a mailing list.
Yeah.
We gave our promotional material, like leaflets and business cards, to them.
Yeah.
So it's in their hands.
We left it in their hands, and it proved that I think we may got one email or nothing even
really?
From that, which then obviously we paid out to be there. And for us to have done that day, we actually learnt a few things where we actually need to improve the way we pitch our
sell, really.
That's
isn't
the
it?
Thing, because like you're saying, like you can't. It's not like going to uni; you learn a lot, but you don't experience a lot as well. Mm. But being freelance, doing things by yourself, or like working straight away in the experience, like it is kind of like not failing, but like sometimes learning from your mistakes or picking things up as well.
Yeah.
Like, trying things, I think. Like
exactly
on Facebook, like if Soph didn't put our email, our Facebook page on all of these comments, then nobody's going to see us anyway. So it's just trying things. And the chances are, if that person does book somebody else might be looking for a wedding band as well. And they might find us from somebody else's recommendation or an inquiry sort of thing.
Sure.
So it's just about putting yourself out there as much as possible, I think, and trying things that we haven't tried before to see if that picks up the business.
You're still trying new things as well. You know, you're not just settled. You're like, okay, we're just doing this.
I think that will always be us, though.
Yeah. That is who you are.
You know, we do get inquiries, I'd say every week, we get inquiries. If it was a point, you know, we were getting inquiries every day, I still wouldn't be settled because I don't like settling.
Yeah.
I mean, Simon and I are happy and settled together.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think I'd ever just be like, this is it. There's always something more you can be doing. Like, we want to start writing our own music. We've sort of trickled some ideas here and there. The tap's not fully running on that at the moment. But, you know, that's another goal. And even for us to write our own album, solely our own music.
And that's not for like financial gain or anything. It's just for the enjoyment of actually making music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we don't want to be those people going like, oh yeah, we're going to reach number one with this. That's not why we would want to do it. We would like to do it for the sole sort of enjoyment for ourselves, and if it goes well, excellent, but we're not the sort of grabbing people. I think we've always from our parents been told to work hard and keep grounded.
So
I think that's how we live our lives and run our business, is being grounded, honest people.
Being realistic and honest to the people that actually are interested in us. Like, there's been so many people that have given us such amazing comments and things, and we really appreciate that support from people. If we were just sort of ignoring what they'd said, or you know, didn't get back to their messages, like we hear from guests that were on the cruise ship quite a lot, if we weren't staying in contact with them, then why would they bother again? But they do. They always try, and they always comment on our posts, and that's amazing to see that, because we've made, you know, we've made an impact on their holiday when they're on the ship, and we've made a lot of friends out of it. And it's not just,
it's not just, not just common courtesy.
Yeah, it's not just for business. It's for,
we're just those,
we love what
people.
We do with that, and love meeting new people, and we've made so many friends out of that. And I think that's more important than anything, really, is just, you know, having a good time and enjoying yourself. And then a lot of the time things come to you from just having a good time, because people go, they love what they do. I want some of that, and I want to have a nice time with them.
Zach and Caitlin, they were on a cruise because their friends had just got married on the beach in St. Thomas, and they came to our set, and the couple wanted a first dance song. So we played, it was Christina Perry, A Thousand Years, which is like a number one wedding song. So we played that. And this Zach and Caitlin, they just loved talking to us. They love coming to see us perform because they like dancing, they like singing along. And if people want that, then we'll give that to them. We can either do Strip Back or we can do Sing Along Party. So they would, they came to all of our sets, they bought our CD.
Oh my God.
He followed us on Facebook just saying, you guys have really touched us, like you've really sort of just warmed our hearts. And we're like, oh, they're so nice people.
That was a few months ago, so that. What was that, like halfway through the contract?
Yeah, so that must have been, what, March, April time?
Yeah.
Then a couple of weeks ago, we get a message from Zach, just checking in. He's saying, hi, guys, how you doing? We're like, yeah, great, yeah, blah, blah, blah. He went, I said, actually, in the message, we've been doing a lot of weddings. He went, talking about weddings, we would like you to be at our wedding.
So he
sent us an invite for their wedding, which is next year. And we'd met them for 4 days on the ship, and they were guests, and we were working.
But to them,
but we, obviously, they were like, you've really sort of touched us so much that we just want you to share our day.
So they've invited us as guests, haven't they? Which
I
is amazing.
I just couldn't believe
it. That's crazy.
So we meet so many lovely people, and that to us is so rewarding.
It's amazing what can come from us performing music.
And enjoying it as well. Like you're doing your passion, and you're literally like hitting the nerves, or the good nerves, with so many people and everything as well. That's what I think is so interesting, is like the longer you do this, the more I suppose it will still be your passion and everything, but it will be like routine a little bit. You know what to do, you get there, you sing, you do it. But like, you still can't beat, like you said, that feeling of someone coming up to you and just being like, that was amazing, like thank you. And like yeah, like that kind of brings you back down to earth a little bit as well. Of it being more than just a job as well.
Oh, massively. And like, even the crew members and the other people in the entertainment team on the ship, we just meet so many great people, and we've got so many good friends that now we talk to them as much as we talk to our local friends in the area. You know, we'll organise FaceTimes, and we like to know what they're up to, and it's just really nice to know that we've known them people for 4 months. And because you're in an intense environment, you see them every day for 4 months.
You bond really quickly.
Yeah, so they become like really close friends as well. So
ship family, yeah.
Yeah, it's just an amazing way of, you know, working. It's a great job to be able to get paid, meeting people and having a great time, really.
And travel sort of as like, well.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think it actually was quoted on Love Island. 1 week feels like a month.
Yeah.
And that's literally how it feels on a ship as well.
So when you go away, it literally feels like a year.
Yeah, so when we've known people for 4 months, it feels like we've known them for about 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, no joke.
That's amazing.
One of our friends, Sam, I would say he's like one of our best friends now, but he's invited us to his wedding, which is next year.
Oh my God, everyone's having weddings.
Everyone's getting married. well, three of our friends got engaged in 1 month this
year. Really?
Yeah.
Oh my
god. So it's crazy. It's all going on.
Yeah.
So.
And actually, like, thinking upon that, like, how are you guys? Are you guys concerned that, like, your passion of performing and everything, it might, because it's literally going full in, like, business mode, that you might lose a passion in it because it's so business? But are you ever concerned that maybe that passion will kind of, like, trickle away because it is a business at the end of the day?
I feel that. Because we're always trying to do different things, new things, that keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
If well, we have currently about 260 songs,
mm.
we're always learning new songs. So that in itself is always keeping it fresh. Because if we just had the same set list that we're playing day in, day out, I'd probably jump overboard. Like that would just, yeah, no, that would be, I just, yeah, that would be boring. But I think I thrive off of other people's reactions.
Yeah.
I think that's what keeps it fresh.
There's always new opportunities as well. It's with music, it's not like we're going to just stick to doing weddings. There's always going to be other things available.
And you can change when you want to as well. That's the beauty of it.
There's the opportunity to change. Like you say, we can go and do another cruise ship if we fancy it. We can go and do a hotel contract, or I don't know, there's endless options. And if we don't want to do as many gigs, then we just don't do them.
Yeah.
We just turn it down. And if we want to change the way our direction, then we might say, oh, we would rather not do so many gigs over a certain couple of months. Then we just sort of rein it in a little bit, do performing less. And, you know, there's always...
Flexibility.
Yeah, flexibility with it. And I think it's important to give yourself a break from it so that, like we were saying earlier, we would listen to a podcast rather than listen to music all the time. And then if we were to say, oh, I'm, you know, listening to this podcast, which lasts a couple of months, and then we listen to an album we haven't listened to for a little while, then it becomes fresh again.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, as long as you try and keep things fresh, then you're always going to be
definitely
passionate about enjoying it and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think with music as well is, yeah, there's a lot of people that perform covers, but being creative and changing those covers to make them your own and or writing your own material is also another outlet of making it feel fresh in music rather than, oh, we're going to play the same set for 2 years, because then that's when it does become boring.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I think another factor as well is that, you know, Simon and I are a couple as well that, well, obviously I love Simon, but I couldn't imagine doing this with anyone else. Yeah. I think we know each other so well. Like, we've been together 5 years this Christmas, which
that's
is
crazy, isn't it?
Crazy. But we know each other inside out, that we know how to work with each other as well. We're no strangers to each other. And a lot of people are like, oh, how can you work with your other half? It's because we can separate work from our relationship as well, which is really important.
It's so rare to find that as well. Yeah. So many people, like,
some people can't
business.
Do it.
Yeah.
But we can, and it works with us because I think we love each other so much that we know how to deal with each other. Like, if we need 5 minutes on our own, I can see by his face, or he's just, you know, he's a bit quiet. I'm like,
by my face?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Well, it's a podcast. You can't really see. But,
all right.
Yeah. But
I can see.
Do it.
I'm doing it. No.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. No. So I think we just know if you need some time out, or if you need to run about, you know, we just know. But
go and have a run around.
Go on, Simon, run it off.
But it's also like when we're in the moment performing and we're like, well, right, we need another song really quick to play, because like let's say the people are up and dancing, we can look at each other and I feel like we just know what to say to each other. We know we can signals. We're just very, very in sync. And,
yeah.
But I think it's nice as well, that especially on the ships, like, yes, it is an intense atmosphere. We are together all the time, but we most definitely can separate work to our personal life.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go to work, but also when we have our days off, we'll go and have a nice dinner together, and we'll actually have some wine, and we'll actually be a couple for the evening. And
you can make that switch quite easily. Yeah,
or
which is
if
so
you're
good.
In port, when we're out in the places, we'll, you know, hold hands and walk down the beach together and, you know, have a nice little time together.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
That's cute, yeah. And it's like, it's crazy that you guys can go on a cruise together as a couple, and then also perform as well. Like,
yeah.
Like, knowing you two and knowing how much you enjoy what you do as well, it's so just, it's amazing seeing that you're literally like living your version of the dream. Of course, it comes with like the tiringness and everything as well. Now, I've got like 5 rapid fire questions for you two.
Oh, okay.
They don't need to be rapid at all.
Oh, I was going to ask a question. Are you asking it individually or are we answering together?
You're both answering together. Ooh. But obviously, like, you might have individual views on the question. Okay. So the same question applies to both of you, okay?
You might fall out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who do you prefer more, Josh or Simon?
Simon.
Simon. I get it.
Of course it's Simon.
Wow.
Correct answer.
Okay. Incorrect answer.
Oh. Da-da-da. Oh, maybe you and me are going
to fall out. This bromance.
Yeah, no. Never break it. Question number 1. Who inspires you or who do you inspire to be like?
My dad.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Simon?
That was rapid as well.
Yeah, well, that was rapid.
Why do you inspire to be like your dad?
Well...
I'm asking the questions now, apparently. Because I'm trying to think of my answer.
That's right.
I'm stalling it.
Can I elaborate?
If you feel comfortable.
I feel comfortable. So my dad passed away 2 years ago, which is basically to the date. And he was a musician too. And the last sort of words I ever had with my dad was that he wanted to hear me write my own music. And he was so proud that my full-time job was music because that was something he always wanted to do, but he never had that opportunity. So being that in my mind, like I sort of, every time I perform, if there's a song that I heard my dad sing or it's one of his favorite songs, I don't know, there's this like aura that I get when I perform. I just know that he's there. If I'm ever going to, I always wish that my dad was here to watch everything. So if I can maybe sing louder, he might hear me. And I don't know, every day I just strive to be like him because he was such a kind man and a very talented man that he inspires me so much to be the best version of myself I could be. Yeah.
That's amazing, Sophie.
Oh. Anyway, Simon,
well, that's nice.
Before I cry.
So yeah, Simon.
Well, no, I'm going to say Soph. Because
because
last couple of years I've been learning to sing and incorporate that into our duo.
Yeah,
like that's been a really tough challenge for me.
Can I just say when I first heard that you were singing as well, I was like, oh really? I thought so. I always pictured like if you play a guitar or piano or stuff, like it's quite rare to find someone who can also sing. Then I heard you and I was like, oh my god, he can sing as well.
Oh, that's cool.
It's crazy.
It's nice to hear that because I still want to be better at what I
you
am
can always
doing
improve.
With it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when I first sang on our celebrity ship, when we first started it, I think it was terrible. And I was so nervous about singing and it was so out of my comfort zone because I've been brought up with drumming. So that's, you know, the drummer sits at the back and makes probably the most noise.
Yeah.
To then transferring into playing guitar where I'm more exposed and it's more intricate, but then your voice is the most like most exposed instrument you can be.
Most personal thing as well.
Most personal, yeah. And you know, Soph sings with such like conviction and it's just amazing watching while we're performing together, I watch Soph perform and I think, well, if I can be more like that, then that would be amazing. So I think that's where that that's the answer to that question.
I think thinking about that, like I definitely get that feel. Like you guys inspire me to some aspect as well. Because when I see you guys perform, I'm like, oh, I wish I could be not only that talented, first of all, because you guys are incredible, but also I wish I had that passion that you guys had. And because I can tell when you're on stage, you know, half of it honestly is just seeing how much you guys enjoy it. Like it doesn't look like you're doing it and like it's just a job or whatever. People at weddings probably look at you and like, are you sure we're paying them? They're having too much fun on stage right now.
Oh, that was a good question.
That was a good question.
It wasn't very rapid, though.
It was fine.
We'll do more rapid now, shall we? All right, so that was number 1.
Quick fire answers.
Quick fire.
If you guys had to give one sentence of advice to people that are currently in a college or university situation and they want to follow their creative passion, what would that be?
Do what you love.
Yeah.
And don't let other people sway your opinion or your own passion in what you want to do, I suppose, because there's been a lot of times where people have gone, well, how are you going to do that full time? And that to me is a challenge. So if anyone ever questions what you want to do, see it as a challenge to prove them wrong.
Yeah, I like that.
Very similar to Simon, really, just you do you. Obviously take advice from people, But ultimately, never make a decision just because you're trying to please someone else. You know, I've heard a lot of situations where I'm at university because my mum and dad think I need to be doing something academic. That's fine. If you love it, do it. But if you're not happy, this life is way too short to be unhappy. Like, it really is. Things can change so quickly. Why just live your best life?
Yeah. I like that.
There you go.
Guys, that was
bam.
Perfect. Bam, take that. Take that,
ow!
Audience.
There we go.
Question number three. What are your favourite songs or song to perform?
Fleetwood Mac.
Is it? It has to be.
Yeah, we're probably going to do one of those today.
Dreams.
Yeah.
Dreams by Fleetwood Mac's a great one.
Oh, amazing. So stay tuned to the end of the podcast.
And Rhiannon. That's on our Spotify.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that is, actually.
You can shout that out in a minute. It's okay.
Yeah. It's on our Spotify. It's on our Spotify.
Yeah, I think that's got to be. It's very sort of... I'm swaying here trying to get it
floaty,
and I don't know, you can lose yourself in it. I think that's what it is. I don't know, I feel like I really connect with that sort of music. Yeah.
Question number four, what are you most excited about in your life right now?
Buying a house.
Yeah.
Tick. Yeah. I agree.
Interesting. Yeah. That's
having somewhere to live.
Having a stable location to stay and not have to always move around.
Yeah.
We've been working really hard to save our money. And being self-employed, that's another thing. We needed 2 years tax returns to submit for a mortgage. Whereas if you're sort of employed by a company, you only need 3 months pay slip. So that's been an extension of our sort of doing that. But yeah, having somewhere that is ours, I'm so excited.
That is it.
That is it.
What's the next question?
Question number five, final question. Creatively, where would you like to be in 5 years' time?
I would love to have our own album.
Yeah.
Written.
All original content.
All original content, yeah. An originals album. I know Simon wants to get back on the drums.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'd like to do a big tour.
Yeah.
I think I'd love to do that.
You guys would thrive in that. I mean, you've done the travelling aspect, so that isn't an issue.
I think a tour, but it would have to be our original music, because obviously no one's going to...
Yeah. And I think it would go well in America, because we're... Well, we found that a lot of people are like, oh my God, I love your accent. And we're like, yeah, cool.
Being the minority cool. in America,
but, yeah. Yeah, we become a bit more of a minority, which then it's a bit more of a selling point.
Yeah.
Which would help to promote the original music more, because that's always tough.
Yeah.
And especially in the UK where there's thousands and thousands of different acts.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we've got a lot of people that we know we could always stay with.
You'd fit into such a niche market.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what, someone inviting us out to Nashville, so...
Really?
Yeah, she's like, oh, we'll take you to Nashville, we'll show you the music scene. It's like, cool, let's write an album and then we'll do that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, writing an album, I think.
And I think I'd love to travel Europe as well.
That'd be really cool.
In a van.
Well, performing or just like as like a personal...
Probably a bit of both. Yeah.
We want to buy the house, do that, and then we want to buy a van and just live out of a van, like a transit or... something like that.
That's so cool. That's so cool that you guys have that vision of like what you want to do so clearly as well.
I think like obviously we have goals in our relationship as well, like eventually we might get married, you know, don't want a kid till I'm at 30.
Yeah,
because my absolute goal would be able to have like a book or a scrapbook or something and show the kids, look what mummy and daddy did. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to do it all before, like, I can't anymore. Like, obviously, there's no problem of being a young mum. There's no problem, you know, people work around it. But, you know, personally, and I know for us, we want to do so much before that's a stage of our life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Now, before we wrap up, you guys, firstly, well done. But also, do you have any podcast recommendations? So if you say you want to get into podcasts, but Simon, do you listen to podcasts? Do you have any recommendations?
I actually don't.
You don't have to have any recommendations.
There was one time on the ship. This is quite funny.
Oh, yeah.
Our friend, Jem, she was a singer and she's from London.
Cool, blimey, London.
Yeah, she's a bit like that. And she's amazing. And... she was a cabin opposite us, and bearing in mind the cabins on the ships have thin walls, you can pretty much hear what's going on. And she had this podcast blaring out.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jim, what the hell's going on? She's like, oh, mate, you've got to come and have a listen to this. And it's called
My Dad
Wrote a Porno.
Oh, my God, yeah. That's like one of the most popular ones. Yeah.
That's the only one I know of. And I heard a little bit of it, and I was like, this is mental.
It's
and I
crazy.
Haven't heard it, but... Maybe I'll have a listen.
You should listen to it, literally.
I would like to listen to it. But there's like 5 seasons of it. Like, there are. So much. I thought it was just going to be like one podcast.
So much.
How wrong was I? I was looking at it like, oh my God, so
plenty
much.
Of content for you guys so to listen content. To.
That would be my only recommendation, just purely from...
It's the only one you've heard.
A friend had it blaring out, and I didn't really have a choice of it. Whether we hear it or not, she was sort of making my choice for me.
I'd recommend it as well. I've listened to a few episodes, and like their episodes are always in like the top 20, top 10. So like definitely check it out. And then lastly, guys, where can people find you? Obviously, you said you're going to have a website soon as well. So what's that going to be?
So we're currently building the website. It's not live yet, but it will be www.sophandsimon.co.uk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for now, the best way to get hold of us and find us is on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube, at Soph and Simon. So at SOPHANDSIMON, at Soph and Simon. Some people spell it with an F or something, and I'll get very upset.
You're like, what?
Well, because my name is Sophie, but people call me Soph.
Like Sophia.
And I say Soph and Simon. They're like, oh, Sophie and Simon. I'm like, no, it is Soph and Simon. So yeah, Facebook and Instagram, YouTube. If you would like to book us for a wedding or party, give us a message. We are very nice people.
You are very nice people.
Lots of deals and package deals and that. And we would be more than happy because, you know, we love it.
Or come watch us live.
Yeah,
always doing stuff around, aren't you?
Obviously, next year 2020 we'll be getting some more shows on the go, because I say we're away on a ship on Friday, so end of September to beginning of February we're on a ship, because winter, you know, it's cold. Let's go to the Caribbean.
See our journey on the ships as well. We put up videos and
oh my god, the videos,
pictures and things.
The ones of you guys on the bar as well is amazing. Like,
oh yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, look back at the videos, there's pictures and videos of
loads of content
running around the bar and
it's great.
Get down, Soph. We
like
got
a crazy night.
Love it. But absolutely follow us, like us, do all the usual stuff at Soph and Simon.
You can check out their links. I'll put it in the show notes under this podcast. I literally just swipe down, you'll find all of their links and everything, so you can click on there.
We're on Spotify as well. We've got a covers album on there, again, just Soph and Simon. So if you just fancy some sort of acoustic covers, by all means, you can download that too. Our usual stuff, Spotify, iTunes. But we will hopefully at some point in the future, I can't put a time on that, have an originals album.
Exciting stuff. And then guys, that's it. How do you feel? Firstly, that's literally it. Before I wrap up, how was your first podcast? How'd
brilliant.
You find it?
Yeah,
it's good fun.
Easy.
Thank you for having us.
I love it.
Thanks for coming on.
It's good. We would like to do more, I think.
Thank you for listening to Having Words. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter and Reddit, and can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, on literally any other podcast directory. Feel free to leave an iTunes review if you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you guys next week. If you want to listen to a little bit of a little bit more personal in-depth conversations with Sophie and Simon, you can check that out in the post show, which is exclusively on our Patreon at patreon.com/havingwords. Now, as we wrap up, we're going to listen to Sophie and Simon. They've set up to the side of me here, so they're going to play some music for you guys. So stay tuned for that. Bye guys,
see ya.
Bye, thanks.
Thank you
for listening. Soph and Simon will now finish the podcast by singing Always Remember Us This Way from A Star Is Born. To support the podcast and receive exclusive content such as the post show with Soph and Simon, you can head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/havingwords.
The Arizona sky burning in her eyes. You look at me and babe, I wanna catch on fire. It's buried in my soul, the California gold. You found the light in me that I couldn't find. So when I'm all choked up, every time we say goodbye, baby, it hurts. When the sun goes down and the band won't play, I'll always remember us this way. Lovers in the night, poets trying to write. We don't try, but some